morning to you again. Trust you're having a good and fruitful morning today, and that you're looking to the Lord Jesus. We're going to pick up the same thought that we've been running with here a little bit. We're going to continue the book of James this morning. James chapter 1, starting with verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and desire. And when thus hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift, every perfect gift from above, cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat to us with the word of truth, and of the first fruits of the tree. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So we see that yesterday we kind of discussed the thought of counting all of our temptations as joy, knowing that that joy tries our faith, works our patience, and produces a perfect work within us, that we may be entire and wanting us. And we went into a little bit of detail of what that looks like and what that means. Well, James picked it up again here in chapter 12, or chapter 1, verse 12, he makes the statement that blessed is the man that endures temptation. Two words there that sticks out to me. The first one is endureth. You know, what comes to your mind when you think of enduring something? Maybe it's a long race that you're running and you're enduring to the end. Maybe it's a challenge that you're facing. Maybe it's heartache. Something that we set our minds forward, that we're in the beginning or the middle, but we have our minds set toward the end of something. We are enduring something. And that's the first word. The second one is, the man that does this is blessed. And so when we find ourselves in the midst of temptation, he says that we are blessed only when we are enduring these things to the end. If we fail in the midst of that, if we fall short in the midst of that, then there's no blessing there. And this is the blessing. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. See, that's the reward. That's the receiving end of this life. The Lord Jesus Christ will give us a crown of life, promised that to those that love him. But then he goes on to say in verse 13, and kind of goes down through 15 or 16, and he says, but let no man say that when he is tempted, that I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, there's a lot of people out there in this life that are looking to blame something. Maybe they want to blame their upbringing. Maybe they want to blame their financial status or lack of it. Maybe they want to blame the school they went to or the school they wanted to get to or their education status. You know, because they don't have this, they can't do that. There's always a he did it, she did it type of mentality in this world. And it's always somebody else's fault that I find myself failing or find myself not completing the goals that are set before me. And Scripture makes a very clear point here. And he says, let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. God does not tempt man with evil. And if we think that our temptations come from God, if we think that the evil that we do and the evil that we work in our heart is coming from the Lord, then we're deceived. And we need to allow the Word of God bring forth truth inside our heart, that we can realize that it's not God's fault. Though he may be creator of this world and the sustainer of this world and keep all living things, he gave us a will. He gave us our own ability to make our own decisions. And he goes on to describe that. Verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, your temptation comes. Your trial comes. Your failure comes when you and I, he or she, are drawn away of his own lust. When there's something that the lust of the eyes grabs a hold of. When there's something the pride of life tries to make his own. When that is taking place in a man's heart, it is the beginning of a temptation. He is drawn away of his own lust and he's enticed. He's tempted. There's a desire there. You know, maybe you find yourself at the shopping center and the old wicked magazines are all around you. There's that enticement there. Maybe somebody has a brand new car, or maybe they have a new horse, or maybe they have a new house, and it's something that you long for or want to have, and there's an enticement there. When you're drawn away of your own lustful desires is what causes mankind to sin. And there's a place there, there's a line there. Jesus was tempted, but he was tempted without failure. Jesus was enticed, yet he was enticed without failure. Because it goes on to say in 15, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. You see, there's a man that has, and a woman has the ability to have a child. But they cannot have a child by themselves. Only when they come together and a man's seed attaches itself to an egg and a child and life be born. And when lust and enticement, when those two things come together, then it brings forth a conception. And that conception brings forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. He says, do not err. Do not err. Do not make an error on this point of doctrine. God does not tempt mankind. It's not God's fault that you find yourself failing time after time. their time in the midst of these things. But every man is tempted and he's drawn away of his own lust, and then that enticement brings forth, it gives a fertilization to that lust, and it conceives, and it brings forth sin in a man or a woman's life. And without repentance, when sin is finished, even with repentance to the natural man, you know, when sin is finished, because of sin, death is upon the face of the earth. And when sin is finished, your flesh will die. The question is repentance in your life? Because with repentance, there's life after death. Without repentance, there's death after death. And this temptation that we are to endure through, the blessing is this, that we be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. This is the fruit it can bring forth in our lives. Not quick to speak, not quick to wrath, not slow to hear. But he tells us to be slow or swift to hear, and slow to speak, and slow to wrath, that we may be able to endure this temptation, because the wrath of man will never ever work the righteousness of God. How about it with you today? Are you find yourself being blessed in the midst of your temptation? Are you finding yourself being honest with God and taking responsibility for the sins of your carnal man? Or are you just allowing sin to see in a perpetual, continual sinning man? Oh, that man would realize the wrath of man will never ever work the righteousness of God. Oh, that we would make a simple decision and say, today I'll not work the wrath of man. I'll only work the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I trust that God will bless you today, that you'll go through this day, and as you see different things and as you are encountered with different trials, I pray that you live life 1 minute at a time. Serve God in the beauty of holiness, lifting up your hands without wrath, without doubt, believing God, knowing that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his life.